Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So today we'll begin chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, The Opulence of the Absolute. It's also called in Sanskrit Vibhuti Yoga, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti is opulences. Yoga means, you know, connecting with the Supreme Lord through His opulences. So, connection between the chapters. Chapter 9, Krishna concludes with the famous verse. Who remembers that verse? Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yachi mam namaskuru mame vaishasi yukti ayuktvam atmana mat parayana. So where he says, please always engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances unto me, worship me. So now in this chapter Krishna is going to talk about how one can remember him.
Mataji, one more time. What did you call in English the chapter 10 name?
Sanskrit Vibhuti Yoga.
Vibhuti Yoga.
Okay. So he's going to talk in this chapter about how to, similar to how we discussed in which chapter where we talked about opulences, right? How to see Krishna in the material world. Is it 7th chapter or? Like, taste in water.
Yeah,
7th chapter, right? So similarly, same actually, 7, 9, 10, it's all similar. So 10 also is going to talk about all his opulences, like, I'm the sun, I'm the moon, I'm the fire. So Krishna is going to declare all those things. Through that, we can see, perceive Krishna through the opulence of this material world. So let's, first few verses are very, crucial, like Krishna sets up the stage. So let's talk about them. So why we have to hear about opulences?
So that we can see Krishna in nature. If we cannot imagine him like that, then that is another way of connecting with him.
Okay, so we can see his presence, or rather, we can see his presence in the nature. Like whenever we see something glorious, volcano or earthquake, right? We see there is a superior intelligence behind that. Somebody powerful has created all this. So when we see the glories in the material world, we remember the Lord. Somebody who is not the atheistic, they can remember, connect with the Lord. But my question mostly it's like, especially Bhakti Yoga, we are meant to develop love with Krishna, right? And we know this conception of Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like Aishwarya Bhava, right? It's actually, Krishna covers that bhava in Mother Yashoda and Goloka Vasis. He makes them forget that he is Supreme Lord. So now, but here we are learning how is the Supreme Lord. So is there a problem with that or what is it?
I think if you know more about his qualities or greatness, you may be attracted more. Or you would admire, right? I remember some example, someone was telling Nityananda Prabhu. Where you go to a...
You
go to a circus or somewhere, you sit to a person next to you. Someone tells... He just sits like an ordinary person next to you. Someone told him, hey, this whole premises is old man. Wow, then your admiration for him will increase. Then your respect for him will increase. Then he says, he does so many charitable things. So then your respect for him will increase some more. So likewise, if you know more about him, the greatest of that person, your attraction towards him would increase, or your respect towards whatever, that would increase. And that's the reason.
That's one of the, any of the reasons anybody has to share?
To glorify Lord. We are here because of, we have been envious to Lord, right? So the solution of that is to glorify, if you are envious to somebody, then start praising his qualities, and that way...
So when we hear about his glories again and again, then we will reduce. That's why the solution for developing love is to hear about the Lord. Because envy reduces when we hear about the glories of the Lord. Any more?
I think I have heard during the Bhagavatam discussion that that's the indirect way of looking at Krishna, when you look at flowers or seasons or weathers and you say how wonderful my master is, just to develop that attraction. That is why these indirect things in nature we can connect to Krishna.
Because we are not right now, we cannot perceive Krishna in the deity also like so much, right? And we cannot perceive Krishna in devotees. But when we see some magnanimous manifestations of Krishna's potency in nature, as we said, earthquake, these are all like completely, awestruck. Nobody can manufacture it, nobody can stop it. Right, then we feel, Krishna is so powerful. All this, all his power, we can, you know, perceive it. And we then, main point Srila Prabhupada says, similar to all the points you are discussing, it increases the devotion. So when we hear about the glories of the Lord and hear about the opulences of the Lord, it inspires one to surrender. That, okay, I can take shelter of this Lord. This Lord is so powerful. This Lord is so wonderful. This Lord is so, you know, magnanimous. He can do so many things. He's so merciful. He's so wonderful that, you know, I don't have any fear from taking shelter of Him. Because we feel always, you know, when we take shelter of, maybe, you know, sometimes we have to take shelter of our husband and, like, you know, our day-to-day life, right? When we feel in certain aspects, you know, they are not well-equipped, we feel they are not competent, then we feel insecure, right? We feel, okay, maybe I should not, you know, I should have some other backup mechanisms, you know, maybe I should also earn. So many things, you know, we have to think about alternatives. When we know they are not capable enough to take care of us. But when we know Krishna is capable enough to take care of us, then there is no hesitation. I can wholeheartedly surrender myself to Him. So that's what, you know, hearing about the opulences of the Lord increases our love and devotion towards Him. And first of all, you know, coming back to my primary question which I was asking, you know, why we should learn that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead is that we forgot about it. Gopis and Yashoda Mata, all these people, they are fully aware that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because that mood will hamper that rasa with the Lord, Lord covers it. It doesn't mean they are like us, ignorant of that fact. We don't know. We think Krishna is one of us. We think Krishna is not there. We think Krishna is impersonal. So many misconceptions. So for us, this is called Sambandha Jnana. We have to establish the Sambandha Jnana to understand who is the Supreme Lord, who are we, what is our relationship with Him. When that is fixed up, that's when it's a foundation for our devotional service. So that's why, and also Bhagavad Gita is the, you know, undergraduate study, right? So Bhagavatam is more, talks about more intimate dealings of Lord with the devotees. But Bhagavad Gita, of course, Bhagavatam also, second canto, is fully about how He creates the material universes. One full canto. So many details about how it happens. It's so wonderful, actually, you know. Many devotees cannot even comprehend, you know. It's beyond, you know, Adokshaja, Krishna says, we discussed in Bhagavatam. Adokshaja, Krishna's another name, means is beyond sense perception. Akshaja means one which we can see. Adha means beyond. So Adokshaja means one who is beyond sense perception. So we cannot perceive the Lord on our own. Only He has to reveal Himself to us. Then only we can see the Lord. So those are the points again it's going to come. So let's read few verses and see, you know, what Krishna is saying here. Text number 1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhuya eva mahabaho shunu me paramam vacha yatteham priyan manaya vakshyami hita kamyaya. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, listen again, O mighty armed Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, listen again. Again he's saying, O mighty Amna Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. So what are some of the striking points in this translation? Can anybody share some points?
Listen again.
So we already told, right? Ashrunu. You know, which, I don't know which, I don't remember exactly. 7th chapter or maybe 4th chapter, you know, every time he says, you know, listen here. He says, you know, the again, he's saying again, that's why. Listen again. And some other points?
Dear friend.
Because you're my dear friend. So we talked about qualifications to hear the knowledge of Krishna, about Krishna. One has to be devotee and a friend, non-envious. These are the three qualifications. And because you're a dear friend, see, we discussed, right? If we have so many opulences, glories we have to share, with envious people we cannot share. Because, you know, they are going to put us down, or they are going to hurt our morale, or they will become more envious. So that's why, because Krishna knows Arjuna is his dear friend, he is going to reveal the glory. Similarly, for us to accept this knowledge in full, we should also be non-envious of Krishna. Then only we can digest this. Otherwise, we think, oh, you know, is it so? Oh, really? Krishna can do all this? You know, we have all these doubts. So, and then some other points. Better than what I've already explained. You know, what that's a little bit suspicious. Yeah. What does it mean, right? Because 9th chapter is called most confidential knowledge. You know, whatever we have to hear, it's given in 9th chapter. It's all about bhakti, everything. So why it's better than that? So in a way, what I understood is that it's going to give details of that bhakti. It's going to enhance that bhakti. So the bhakti is established in 9th chapter. So this is going to give more, reveal more knowledge about the Lord, that such a way that bhakti will get enhanced. You see the point? So, you know, little bit bhakti creeper has started, but now you give more. Okay, let's say a boy and girl, right? They fall in love with each other. Okay, initially maybe they know little bit about the other person. No, this person, you know, oh, he's a topper in the class, he looks so good, everything. And some little bit feeling is there. But when you know more, okay, you know he does well in games, he's best child in the home. So many things, if you know more and more, that love will increase. Right? It's impetus for the love. So like that.
In the material world, the more you know, the more bad you know.
What?
In the material world, the more you know a person, you know more bad about
more bad. Oh, okay. Hopefully for devotees, you know, we hear good. So that's why he's saying this is better than what I've already explained. So okay. And then what else? And one crucial point, another point from Krishna is saying. Everybody missed that. For your benefit. For your benefit. So Krishna is not saying because he's an egotist, you know, he has to talk about himself, you know, for such a long time, you know, somebody has to just sit and hear. He's saying you will get benefited if you hear this. So we all will get benefited if we hear this. Not because, you know, Krishna has to boast about himself. We discussed this in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is so tied together. I don't know. Somehow, you know, we are able to get the benefit of relating both of them. There is a purport in 7th canto where Prahlad Maharaj says, actually gives an analogy that glorifying the Lord is like decorating your face. And when you decorate your face and you see the mirror, the reflection in the mirror also appears decorated. So similarly, when you glorify the Lord, we, the spirit souls who are reflection of the Lord, also get glorified and satisfied. That's a very beautiful analogy he gives, you know, Prahlad Maharaj. So, and in that purport, you know, I would like recommend you to look it up, and you know, you can easily look it up if you search in the lightofgodhead.com website. You know, we can.
What is the verse number?
Verse number, I don't know. You can look for mirror on our website. You'll get the verse. You can go to the source to read that purport. Very beautiful purport. Srila Prabhupada answers this question. Generally, you know, people ask when they initially come to Krishna consciousness, why I should serve the Lord? Why Lord is always saying, you know, serve me, serve me, serve me? You know, why? You know, why can't I do other way? You know, why is he demanding like this? Somebody initially asked a question to me also, then suddenly immediately I bumped into this purport. He answers that question people ask. He says that Lord is already glorious. He doesn't need somebody to step up and glorify him. He's already glorious. You know, Vedas are speaking about him, pure devotees are glorifying him. Left, right and center, back, future, present and past, everybody is glorifying him. So his position is set. But if you glorify him, you will get benefited. See the point? Lord doesn't need anything. He doesn't gain anything by your glorification. Only you will gain. That's the point, you know, that purport Srila Prabhupada establishes. Lord is already glorious. If you glorify him, you will become glorious and you will become benefited. Okay, so that's what another point, verse once I was telling Madhavi Mataji. Because I was sharing, I had this, you know, sometimes we hear somewhere and we know the conclusions. But sometimes we don't know the explanation for the conclusions. Sometimes realizations comes, but you don't know how it happens, like, you know, logically. So I was just sharing in the class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, that if at all we want to continue in Krishna consciousness, if at all one can easily gets a taste for preaching, that's the best way to, that's a secure way for your Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, once you get taste for preaching, then you just be absorbed in, you know, sharing Krishna consciousness with others, and that's all. You can never deviate. Because you just want to give. I didn't know, you know, why it is so. Maybe I knew, but I didn't know exactly. So immediately after 2 days, I heard a lecture from Srila Prabhupada. He says, actually, preaching is samadhi. That's one of the, that's a story title we have in our website. Or in its, we have to come so still. He says, preaching is samadhi. How he says is, when I have to glorify about Krishna, After, without remembering Krishna, how can I glorify Him? So that means I'm absorbed in remembering Krishna, that's why I'm able to speak about Him. So that is nothing but samadhi. So he says, not only the just person who is sitting and hearing about Krishna is in samadhi, person who is speaking about Krishna is also in samadhi. So that, you know, this logically how it happens is explaining there. Because we are, you know, speaker is absorbed in remembering Krishna while speaking about Krishna, you know, that's how he gets also purification. Because we are talking about glorifying Krishna on this topic, so we are talking about those points.
Adhaji, one more time, I missed it. You said it's like decorating face, so it's like decorating Lord's face?
So analogy is, yeah, if we decorate our face, when you look in the mirror, our reflection also gets decorated, right?
Right.
So similarly, if we serve the Lord and if we satisfy the Lord, His reflection, all of us will also feel satisfied.
Okay.
Yeah, you can search for mirror on lightofgoddess.com, you'll get the website, the story. Okay, so let's read the purport. So let's read from, like, you know, six lines in the first paragraph.
Previously, beginning with the seventh chapter, the Lord has already explained His different energies and how they are acting. Now in this chapter, He explains His specific opulences to Arjuna. In the previous chapter, He has clearly explained His different energies to establish devotion in firm conviction. Again, in this chapter, He tells Arjuna about His manifestations and various opulences. The more one hears about the Supreme God, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. One should always hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. That will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Others cannot take part in such discourses. The Lord clearly tells Arjuna that because Arjuna is very dear to Him, for His benefit, such discourses are taking place.
So the point Prabhupada is saying is that the more one hears about Supreme Lord, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. So that's why Krishna is giving us opportunity to hear more about Him. And also such hearing can take place only in association devotees. And because Krishna recognizes Arjuna as a devotee, He says, that's why you are qualified to hear. So I'm going to reveal about Myself. So in the earlier section of the purport, when Prabhupada is talking about 7th chapter and the previous chapter, the verses, you can note it down. So the verses related to this is 7.3 to 12, 9.3 to 10, where He talks about His different energies and opulences. 3 to 10
and
7.3 3 to 12. If you see, this all have same theme. Krishna is saying, first of all, in 7th chapter He says, I have inferior energy, material energy and superior energy, all these things, right? And 9th chapter some more details, and now some more details. Okay, text number 2. Now Krishna says that actually I am going to reveal about Myself, but nobody knows. So let's see text number 2. Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya ahamadiri devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So he's saying nobody can know me actually, but no, I am going to reveal to you who am I. So hosts of the demigods and great sages cannot know about Krishna, what Krishna's origin and opulences. Because why? Because He is the source of demigods and sages. So why they cannot know Krishna?
Because
He is the source. We talked about it, right? We cannot know our parents fully until our parents tell us what they have done when they are in childhood, right? We cannot figure out what merits have done by speculation. Parents have to tell us. So similarly, Krishna is the source of everyone. So Krishna has to reveal who He is. We cannot figure Krishna out. Very simple, right? Very simple example. Yeah. So that's why He is saying clearly, I am the source of demigods and sages. Okay, so let's read the second paragraph. Here the Lord
indirectly says that if anyone wants to know the absolute truth, here I am present as Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the Supreme. One should know this. Although one cannot understand inconceivable Lord who is personally present, he nonetheless exists. We can actually understand Krishna, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, simply by studying his words in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The conception of God as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord. But the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental position. Because most men cannot understand Krishna in his actual situation. Out of his causeless mercy, he descends to show favor to his speculators. Yet, despite the Supreme Lord's uncommon activities, these speculators, due to contamination in the material energy, still think that the impersonal Brahman is the Supreme. Only the devotees who are fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord can understand. By the grace of the Supreme Personality, that he is Krishna, the devotees of the Lord do not bother about the impersonal Brahman conception of God. Their faith and devotion bring them to surrender immediately unto the Supreme Lord, and out of the causeless mercy of Krishna, they can understand Krishna. No one else can understand him. So even great sages agree what is Atma, what is the Supreme. It is he whom we have to worship.
So here Prabhupada is saying that only devotees can completely understand Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, by speculation, at most we can understand Brahman, you know, Paramatma and things like that. But to understand Krishna as Bhagavan, one has to become devotee, because Krishna has to reveal himself, and Krishna reveals only to devotees. That verse is Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. Krishna says, only by devotion I can be understood as I am. Out of causeless mercy, Krishna, only Krishna reveals himself. You know, Krishna sees, you know, you're so eager to love me, you're so eager to serve me, you know, okay, I'm going to reveal myself to you, like that, so that your love will increase. So can anybody share some of your experiences, how in the beginning, you know, your realizations about Krishna, and now, you know, you feel Krishna has revealed something about him more now, or anything tangible which you can express? Some realizations about Krishna. Of course, you know, we cannot say, you know, okay, now I see Krishna's color of dress, all those things. No, if today is now eating something sweet, gulab jamuns, those things and all, we cannot get revealed now yet. But something with respect to, which tangible we could have seen, right? It will manifest in our determination, in our devotion service. Let's say something.
Yeah, like before, starting with the 3 years of my Krishna consciousness, if anybody asked me, I could not even answer anything. But after joining your Bhagavad Gita class, and like, I did not attend Bhagavatam, but still, I think I have. Now I got the, I can tell back, like, this is what, and I could even relate some of the slokas to them. So I could feel like Krishna is revealing to me something, because I used to cry, because I know that Krishna is the Supreme, but I can't tell other people, because they are not ready to accept also. But now I could even relate the slokas. I can
substantiate with Shastra.
Mm-hmm. So I think Krishna is revealing slowly to me. He is giving me that energy and the power, the knowledge.
Yeah, very nice. Very
That's
nice.
A very good point. I tell you, related to that, when jinke do bachche the na, he moved to India. No.
Madhav Mukund.
Red Hawk mein rehte the na. He has a house in
Venkatpur.
V se naam tha na unka.
Oh, Vedanaran.
Vedanaran. In the kitchen, he asked me, myself and Sandeep was there, and it was initial days, and he asked me, so why should we chant Krishna's name? believe it or not, we both had no answer to that. We were totally quiet. We said, we don't know. And then he explained the glories of the holy name. Which I don't remember, but now if somebody asks me, at least I can answer one or two sentences. So then, yes, why should we chant, you know? But that time he asked me, and I had nothing to speak. I said, I don't know. We should do it, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
You know? So slowly, slowly things are revealed, but Mirko, I really do not have any realizations the way you are asking. I have hardly anything to share. I don't think I have any realization. I don't know what part I'm missing in my devotional service, but I don't get any realizations.
Yeah, realizations manifest in our determination, devotional service. Unless we have realization, we cannot be fixed. Because what is, how is it, what is it sustaining, right? Unless we have, that's why Krishna reciprocates with devotees. You know, unless we see that reciprocation with Krishna, how will we continue our devotional service? No, of course, we are meant to do it very, very selflessly, Of course, we are not expecting reciprocation in a, very, very intimate way, like how Krishna reciprocates with his gopis. But at, with the level we can perceive, Krishna reciprocates. Otherwise, how will a devotee continue further? No, he reciprocates by giving us taste. He reciprocates by giving us, attachment to hearing, attachment to reading, attachment to, deity worship, attachment to association of devotees, attachment to service to guru. If we develop all of these, means it's Krishna's reciprocation. These are all our realizations. Gradually, day by day, are we, getting more attracted to hearing the holy name, more attracted to hearing Krishna Katha, more attracted to being in association? That means this is Krishna's reciprocation for us. No, because we want to come closer to Him, He is pulling us closer to Him. Right? This is a tangible way Krishna reciprocates with us. So you feel you there's any difference from day one till whatever day now it is?
Excellent. I feel like that, but mujhe aapko jaise batana nahi aata. I don't know how to say it. Matlab what you said, I can feel it. I can definitely feel it. But agar aap ye nahi bolte, to it would have never come to my mind that this is Krishna's reciprocation. Maybe I don't identify that.
Exactly.
Maybe I have ego or something like that yes, I am the doer. I am doing it. I am not seeing that as Krishna's reciprocation in my life.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very, very nice. That's a very nice point, actually. Humility is such an important factor. So very a gratitude also. Radhanand Maharaj gives like a punchline. I think hopefully I can rephrase now properly. He says, if one is not grateful, whatever he receives, he feels I deserve it.
Exactly.
And whatever he doesn't receive, he feels it's not worth it. If one is not, it's all about gratitude.
Right.
You see it? If one is not grateful, whatever he receives, he feels, I receive it. What is mercy in it? I deserve it. I deserve it. And whatever he doesn't get it, he feels, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm not supposed, what's the point? If I have it or don't have it, it doesn't matter. So it's so important, crucial. Gratitude, he says, is so fundamental to devotional practice that it changes the whole paradigm, how we look at things, and that's what Krishna accepts. So we may be doing so many things, so many services, so many things, but Krishna is not accepting those external things. He's accepting our feeling towards Him, He's accepting our mood of humble devotion, gratitude, all those points, all those qualities. So somehow or the other, we should not miss that essence. We may be gradually, as we grow in years, we may be given huge responsibilities, or we may be doing big, big things from other points, generally material sense of view. But we should not lose in touch of with our essence. Why am I serving Krishna? What is that which pleases Krishna really? What is it that I am offering to Krishna in this? It's not about number of views. Now these days you are putting kids videos in YouTube channels. Every day I'm checking how many views are coming. So is this what I'm offering to Krishna? Number of views Krishna people are seeing, or what is it I'm offering to Krishna actually? No, so we should always come back to roots and check what mistakes we are making and fix ourselves in coming to the right right path, and because Maya is so strong, actually, we feel like, you know, we are doing Krishna conscious activities, everything Krishna conscious, but actually we can just get carried away. That's recently I experienced the same, actually. So, but somehow because of association of devotees, and if you're sincere, that's the only qualification, then Krishna can protect us. Then we can recover quickly and then understand our mistake and, you know, go forward. So you see, it's okay, whatever we discussed.
It's amazing.
No,
in a life, right, a lot of things happen. Like, for example, we wanted to come close to you, like, right? When we first found in Kolina Square, it didn't happen. Then finally, Krishna suddenly we came close into this community. Like, a lot of things, right? Small things, but unless we think it's Krishna's mercy, we will not realize them. Like, us continuing to stay here, I was not sure whether we'll be able to stay
Green
here.
Green card. Mm.
But again, Krishna's mercy, we were able to stay.
Mm.
At the same time, we got a house, like, for example, several things, small things, and the service that we both do, right? I don't think we could have done other things. I'm not saying what we are capable of, but because of some background, but again, Krishna gave a service that we can at least do, like bookshop or whatever, right? So, I don't, like, lot of small things, but we are able to connect more or do things.
Mm-hmm.
I think several things are there.
Yeah.
I don't know what all,
we
but
my lot of my association nowadays.
Yeah.
Mm.
We can serve devotees who were coming to here. We did get chances. If we are in Bellevue, we don't get that chance.
These are the ways Krishna is reciprocating with us. By helping us fulfill our desire, aspirations in Krishna consciousness. By giving us services, by giving us association, by giving us sin. So whatever desires in Krishna consciousness is fulfilling. That's so merciful, right? So, but we should remain grateful, you know. It's not like, you know, 5 years back I did this service, Krishna, that's why you're giving this to me. That's okay. Yeah, you're doing a good job. It's not like that, but, you know, I still, you know, you've given me so much, but still I'm not receiving it fully, you know. Give me that ability to receive it fully, give that ability to serve in this position nicely, to please the devotees very wonderfully and make them happy. Still, you know, I make mistakes. Still, I falter. Still, you know, somebody chastises me, you know, can I fix myself? Can I do it better? You know, so many things we can, you know, work.
The service that we do, we should not do it as an activity, but we should do it as a service.
Yeah.
That will make difference and that will improve.
Yeah.
At least sometimes we do it as an activity. Right?
Routine. Yeah. Okay. So, we'll continue then. What did we discuss now? Text number 3, we should continue, right? Text number 3. Yo mam ajam anadim cha virti loka maheshwaram asam muda cha martyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all worlds, he only undeluded among men is free from all sins. So Krishna here says, what is the advantage of knowing him? You know, if somebody knows him as him, as he is, what happens to him?
He says
he is undeluded among men. That means he doesn't get bewildered. So he becomes fixed in devotional service. He doesn't keep thinking every day, you know, really should I be chanting, really should I be serving. So much doubts, everything is not there. It's fixed up. And he's freed because he's freed from all sins. Because of sins only we falter. Because we have so much attraction to sense gratification and so much propensity to sin, they come in a way in our devotional service. So, but these persons who are fully aware of Krishna, they don't have sins and they are not bewildered, but they are fixed in devotional service. Okay. So, let's read fourth paragraph. Sri Krishna is therefore different from everything that is created.
Sri Krishna is therefore different from everything that is created, and anyone who knows him as such immediately becomes liberated from the sinful reactions. He must be liberated from sinful activities to be in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Only by devotional service can he be known, and not by any other means, as stated in Bhagavad Gita.
So the thing is, it's like a cycle here. One who knows Krishna immediately becomes liberated of sinful reactions. And to know Krishna, one has to be free from sinful reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, but the because the devotional service is both means and the end, while doing devotional service, gradually we'll be freed of devotional service. While gradually we'll be freed of sinful reactions, so we'll be qualified to realize Krishna. So it's both means and the goal, right? Both, that's because of that. So the verse which he talks about, this verse is, how, you know, one must be liberated from all sinful activities to be in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. That verse is, Esham Tva Antagata Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam. I think 7.28 or 9.28. Some 2.8. Or we can look up the index. It's Y Esham Y. Take it. Yeah, 7.28. So you can write down. Where Krishna says that one who is freed from sinful reactions can be fixed up, in, can do the devotional service with determination. So the, you know, how to understand this so-called contradiction is that initially when we take up devotional service, there is no barrier. Anybody can take it. Even if somebody has a lot of sinful reactions, can take it up. Right? So that's how we begin. But once, but to become determined in devotional service, one has to be free from sinful reactions. That's what the 7.28 says. And only when one is determined in devotional service, Krishna reveals himself and one knows himself, Krishna as Supreme Lord. You see the point? So by doing devotional service, one's sinful reactions gets freed, so he can become determined, so he can realize the Lord. That's how the, both of them work. Okay. Okay, now the question is, Prabhupada says in this translation, Krishna says in translation, he is unborn. The question is, we know Krishna is born of Devaki. Then what does it mean he is unborn? So it's answered in next next to next paragraph. If Krishna is known as son of Devaki,
then how can he be unborn? That is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. When he appeared before Devaki and Vasudeva, he was not born as an ordinary child. He appeared in his original form and then he transformed himself into an ordinary child.
So he was not born as regular mothers give birth to child, right? It's Vasudeva conceived of Krishna in his mind. Then through mind he transferred into Devaki's womb and then he came as 400 Vishnu form and then finally transferred into small child. So that's why it's not like really born the way we think of birth. Okay, so this further paragraph is very interesting.
The unborn, I thought, means that his original form actually, like, there's no beginning, no end, like that. Is it like that or?
Yeah, anywhere, even then, that's why Krishna is saying, but Devaki is giving birth to Krishna, somebody may say. But then Prabhupada is saying, no, he's existing before that. Mm. He's not like only after Devaki gave birth, he became existing. Mm. Okay, let's read this, the last paragraph. It's very interesting what Srila Prabhupada is saying.
Anything done under the direction of Krishna.
So, okay, he's elaborating on the point about freedom from sins. You know, how can we get freedom from sins practically? So, let's see.
Anything done under the direction of Krishna is transcendental. It cannot be contaminated by material reactions which may be auspicious or inauspicious. The conception that there are things auspicious and inauspicious in the material world is more or less a mental
concoction,
because there is nothing
auspicious
in this material world. Everything is inauspicious because the very material nature is inauspicious. We simply imagine it to be auspicious. Real auspiciousness depends on the activities of the Krishna consciousness in full devotion and service. Therefore, if we at all want our activities to be auspicious, then we should work under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Such directions are given in authoritative scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or form a bona fide spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord, his direction is directly the direction of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master, saintly person and scriptures direct in the same way. There is no contradiction in these three sources. All actions done under the direction of or free from the reactions of pious or impious activities of this material world. The transcendental attitude of the devotee in the performance of activities is actually that of renunciation, and this is called sannyasa.
Mm-hmm, we can pause that. Okay, so the point is here Prabhupada is talking about how we can get free from both pious and impious activities. So what's the solution? Krishna's under the direction of bona fide spiritual master. Like for example, Arjuna fought the war, but he is not accruing any reactions because of killing so many people like that, right? Because he acted only on behalf of the Lord. So he doesn't get any reactions. Similarly, if we act on behalf of the Lord, do devotional service, devotion activity on behalf of our spiritual master, then we don't get any reactions.
This is a triangle which Prabhu used to say.
Yes, Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Mm-hmm. This is a three check. What is it? Three things we have to validate all the time whenever we have to make a decision. Whether whatever we are thinking is in line with what Guru says, in line with what other senior Vaishnavas say, in this line with Shastra. Three cross-check balance, you know, these three things will balance. If anything is amiss, like, you know, if one of them is saying something wrong, means something wrong really. Like, you know, that's how, for example, maybe, you know, some gurus fall down, right? We say sadhus and Shastra are saying that, you know, okay, we should not indulge in intoxication or something, and Guru comes suddenly says, no, it's okay, once in a while, no, you can take. Then you can say there is something wrong. So you cannot just completely blindly submit to one person and leave the rest of it somewhere else. So that's another point, you know, Prabhu is saying. So, yeah, but this, you know, we need to, as we develop in devotional consciousness, as we, you know, take up seriously, you know, initiation, all those things, this point becomes very crucial for us. The point of Guru Nishtha is very significant for our development in Krishna consciousness. Actually, this is actually when I was aspiring from our Guru Maharaj, when I shared with Mukundatha Prabhu, in the letter he wrote to me, actually, that time I didn't understand any this term. He repeated so many times in that letter, and he said, yeah, Guru Nishtha is very crucial for his spiritual progress. You know, I wish you can cultivate that, you know, he said like that. So that Guru Bhakti, Guru Nishtha and faith in Guru is very, very fundamental for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that faith will help us, you know, unhesitatingly, unflinchingly act on the order of spiritual master with a complete faith that it's going to benefit me. Otherwise, we keep thinking, oh, if I do this, I'll get reactions. Oh, my Guru Maharaj is saying quit this job and not join another job. You know, that job, you know, they do something else, you know, I'll get reactions. But unless we have that full faith that, you know, this instruction is coming from Guru, the representative of Krishna, and this instruction, by following that, I'm not going to get any reactions, that faith one has, then only it becomes successful. I myself experienced one incident. I will not give too many details. Like when we were, for a long time trying to have kids, we approached our spiritual master, you know, he was always in touch and is guiding us. So final lifetime, he said, you know, you do whatever medically is possible. So then the way he gave this instruction, I had full conviction, you know, whatever I try, I'm free from reactions, you know, I'm not bound to any, and I'm completely protected. You know, because we are doing under his direction. And if, after getting his direction, if without faith, if I hesitate and say, oh, don't do it, then actually I'm violating spiritual master's instruction. So that faith one should have, that whatever Guru, spiritual master orders, you know, it's coming from Krishna, and he's, it's free, it's going to raise us above the reactions. Any questions anybody has?
Mother, just now you said we should also
check the other.
That it is aligned with the senior parampara. So who will tell me that this check is good, or this is my bad knowledge that my check is saying false? You see, got my question. I have a little knowledge, but when my guru is telling something, so I'm trying to check with the parampara, and based upon my knowledge, I found, because I don't have an interest on that instruction, somehow I will convince myself, yes, it's not aligned with the parampara or something. It's who will guide me on if I'm matching well or not? You got my question? Means to whom should I go and ask, I'm matching well or not? See, I don't know.
Yeah, so you can ask, yeah. First of all, one thing is about attitude. So Srila Prabhupada says, until we take initiation, we can challenge the Guru. You know, we can test him. We can test him in his knowledge. We can test him in his experience. So many things, you know, as like how interviewer will, you know, interviewer will test the interviewee. You can do all those things. And similarly, Guru is also testing you. So do that. But once you made up your mind and you have conviction that, okay, he is the one I'm going to submit to rest of the life, then from then on, it should be submissive attitude. Whatever inquiry is a submissive inquiry. Like, you know, I am not able to, from my knowledge, with my experience, I am not able to understand this. Can you please clarify it further? That's attitude. Not like, how dare, you know, my lifestyle is so busy. Recently, I heard this incident. So, my lifestyle is so busy and you are giving me so much service. You know, how dare you do that?
Somebody did that.
So, you know, see, that's an attitude problem. You see, there is a way in expressing that conveys our attitude. And that's very, very important in devotional life. If you want to make progress, you have to fix our attitude. No, like, of course, I cannot come and convey with that person. I didn't convey. Hopefully, you know, sometime we'll have the dialogue. But, you know, it's the humility, that attitude, you know, of respecting that person, you know, they are of having the minimum understanding that that person is doing it for my welfare, right? And that respect that is not there, then you think, you know, they are exploiting me, or you know, it's a burden, they are giving me more burden. Then you come and argue, huh? Then what? Then whole thing is mess, right?
But Nataji, kuch devotees aise bhi to hain jo initiated hain, but it looks like they are not that surrendered to the Guru Maharaj. Then, but then Guru is also testing before initiating them, and they can also look towards their Guru before getting initiated. Then why do these things happen after initiation?
No, initiation is not it's not stamped that they are fully surrendered. Initiation is the beginning of surrender. So different devotees take a different trajectories until they come to the final stage of full surrender. You know, because we are all picking up from previous life. Some people take up fast, some people take up slow, based on what current situation, what they are in their life, and how much, you know, they're eager and things like that. So that's why there is so much variegatedness. Some people advance very fast, some people don't.
But Mataji, it's all based on. बहुत discussion हुआ है. Sorry, I'm taking this somewhere. ऐसे आप कह रहे हैं कि we are taking it from a previous life. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is completely independent, right? It is not dependent on our sinful actions or on our past activities. It comes with the association of devotees, and it is just the mercy of the devotees that you will get that bhakti. Then some people, they don't take it, right? And I think I asked Maharaj the same question, and what answer he gave me is, I'll just repeat his words, that opportunity is there in the association of devotees. Taking up or not taking up is a free will choice of that person. But I have heard many times with other devotees, somehow or other they say that because of their previous activities, they are not progressing or they are not taking it. Which I think is not the cause. It is not the cause. It's an equal opportunity.
No, equal opportunity is there, but still we are eternal souls. So we have this bhakti is eternal bank balance. So whatever in the previous life we have earned materially, we lost it, you know. This life we cannot claim it. We cannot say last life, you know, I built this bungalow, why are you staying here, you know, I'll come and stay. We cannot stay. But the eternal, the bhakti progress we have made in bhakti is there in our account. Anytime we can withdraw and start from there. So that's what we are talking about. So some people would have almost reached the final game, like in almost pure devotion, and made some small mistake and they have to be born in devotee family. So that's why if you see children pick it up, children in devotee family, they are very, very special. Because from the childhood, they are getting impetus to take up devotional service. So they are picking up from their previous lives. They immediately they start hearing, chanting, they clap, and you don't have to tell you do this. You know, they will tell us, you know, you have to do that. No, so that means they are picking up from the previous life. So that is always there. But still, the current situation in your life also plays a role in whether you can take it up. You know, like for example, how you are situated with respect to, if you are so much enamored with material opulence and, you know, whatever fame in this life, and you don't feel anything miserable, anything for which you have to surrender to God, even though the bhakti is there, account, Krishna, you are not ready to accept it, right? Even though you are in the association of devotees, you are not seeking for it, actually. So you don't see it. They say, right, seek and you shall find.
Mm.
So you're not looking for anything, any help. You know, your life, you're full in yourself. You know, I'm happy with my wife, children, happy with my activities, eating outside, everything. Everything is fun. Okay, yeah, devotees come and chant. Yeah, maybe they don't have other job, you know, whatever, you know, they, something. So let them do.
Anthony, one more thing. So
you see the point now?
Yes.
So based on situation, and let's say if in my life, my situation is that somehow I'm put in despondency, I'm depressed, and suddenly there's a association of devotees, then that immediately catches fire. Then immediately we start withdrawing from our account and we start acting.
But now, everybody was saying that there were devotional service and sinful reactions, right? Once is devotional service, then the sinful reactions are eliminated, and then one is fixed in the devotional service to realize Krishna, right? This is the circle, something like that you said. Same thing. Now, how sinful reactions are blocking one devotional service, because bhakti is independent,
yeah.
It is not dependent on those. Then
exactly. Yeah. That? So, bhakti, definitely, you know, bhakti is not, cannot be created by jnana or karma, and it cannot be stopped by any material situations. Like, you know, for example, practical example for that is Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada says in that purport, that means that anybody, whatever materially poverty stricken situation I am in, I can offer my devotion to the Lord. It's not dependent on whether I have a job, whether I have my family, whether I have my kid, nothing. Right? Whatever situation, I can still offer my flower and fruit or whatever, because it's a feeling of the heart. It's not anything material. So we should always understand this. Bhakti is a feeling in the heart. It's the expression of, it's a feeling we have for Krishna. That is bhakti, not what we offer externally. That is just a expression. That's just a token. Okay. Of course, you know, then that means really if you genuinely have the devotion, then if you have the means, we'll give the best to the Lord. It doesn't mean I have $1,000,000, but still I give 1 paisa to the Lord, then that's not really genuine devotion. Okay, so now the question is, then why some so-called sinful reactions which are material are blocking somebody? Or even in our own lives we can see, right, certain conditionings and certain habits always block us. They pull us back, actually. You know, I was telling in Bhagavatam class, initially when I was trying to take up Krishna consciousness, I was so eager. My heart was so eager. But I felt so much as if, you know, I'm pulled back like this with my moods and my habits and my conditioning. It's like strong force pulling back. My heart is like, I want to go, but it's so much force is pulling back. You know, it's so desperate situation. So that's why I took so much shelter, and, you know, we received that much mercy based on that eagerness. So then we were able to, you know, by mercy of the Guru and Krishna, it's like all this, you know, the chains are cut and we are free now. So, yeah, so how, that's how, you know, because we are so tiny and we don't have strength, we have little bit taste for bhakti, we have little bit, you know, desire to do bhakti, but our conditioning and our, what is a burden is so huge that we cannot overcome that at our own strength. Because only with the strength of devotion we can overcome that. But our strength of devotion is not that huge that we can overcome. So when we have Guru's mercy and Krishna's mercy, because they have more devotion, if they just make a single prayer, if they are little satisfied with our service, and if they feel happy, that's all. The whole chains, everything get cut. Then these sinful reactions will not block us. You see the point? For progress in bhakti, still it's not a contradiction. You know, even if when I was talking about this example, I was striving, but I was not able to exhibit the service, right? I was feeling frustrated. But that frustration is bhakti for Krishna. You see the point? That's why for Krishna, it's not a failure. Are you able to understand the point I'm trying to say? Okay. See, what I'm saying is, it feels as if because of the burden of the chains pulling back, I'm not able to express progress in devotion. That's what I was feeling, right? That's what you are telling. How sinful reactions can stop bhakti. But it's not stopping bhakti, because that feeling of attaining Krishna is bhakti, which is what Krishna is seeing. You see the point?
You're saying you are not moving forward, still we are doing
that.
That
is a problem because our heart,
our intention, heart is to be with Krishna. Our moment to moment we are thinking, oh Krishna, still I am doing this, I want to come to you. That feeling, that eagerness, that is bhakti. Right? It's not about how whether we chant our 16 rounds with the concentration. Right? You see the point? See, it's coming back to the essence again. Now you see there is no contradiction. So sinful reactions are not stopping as long as you have that eagerness. I don't know, it's all coming out now. I never thought about it like this. It's all your mercy, you know. But seems like it's very wonderful.
Let me write it down. A little bit, I got it. If I forget it, then I didn't get it.
I can tell this example, like, I wanted to come to the class, but I have never known this, okay, to be and in class I told Prabhuji, I don't want to go, can you call Mataji? Call did not come to Mataji, okay, that is also similar, okay, if she got the call and she picked it up, I would have, okay, I'll stay at home and listen to the call, but it did not happen, so, I was so eager, I wanted to come to the class, but all these are blocking. Okay, these are all the sins. At last I came to the class, I came all through the sins and I came to the class and I'm hearing about Krishna now. So, that's what we can correlate whatever matters with the examples, the day to day may happen. And
Yeah, so basically we have this conception that we see everything to externally manifest. We see, you know, we measure with respect to external, you know, we are chanting my rounds, whether I am, you know, doing all those things. But that's not what Krishna is seeing. He is seeing that feeling, he is accepting that feeling, he is going very, very subtle actually. But that also means that if you are able to chant our 16 rounds properly, if you are able to do so many wonderful things, if that feeling is not there, if that bhava is not there, then it's all useless. See the point? Reverse also makes sense. Of course, we are talking about very, very deep things, I think, now. Okay. So, okay, we cannot proceed. I think
so
we are done.
First, we should focus on feeling rather than all these things.
feeling I'm talking about is like, you know, bhava, or of course bhava at the bhava stage, you know, at the shraddha, anartha, nivritti, after that feeling bhava will come. These are stages, that bhava,
that's the last
stage. But you in all throughout the process there is some feeling for there, we have some feeling for the Lord, right? So that's what it is, that's what is Krishna is accepting throughout our struggles, throughout our endeavors to reach Him. That's what, see, in her struggle of today, so much thinking about, I want to go to Krishna. All the time she's thinking about Krishna. That's for, Krishna is accepting it more than anything else. Even if she didn't come, it wouldn't matter. This just materially, whether it's possible or no. Let's say on the way she got hit a traffic jam or had an accident, she had to go back. It doesn't matter to Krishna. You see the point? It's for Him, it's as good as she attended the class. Because it's not about attending the class, it's about wanting to come closer to Krishna. So do we have that? That's all. If we have it, we are successful. But doesn't mean if we want to come back to Krishna and then we keep quiet, we don't follow the, you know, chanting, we don't follow. It should express eventually, you know, if now we are not qualified or capable, after some time, because that desire is sincere and we are investing in the desire and we really, really want it, when the opportunity comes, we will do it. Otherwise, it's not sincere and we are cheating. Yeah. So, it's all about our feeling. Okay, any questions or comments? Mataji, you want to share something? You didn't speak anything. What is your feeling today? Anything anybody wants to share?
I'm still thinking about it.
Don't think too much.
I think that's the key point.
Yeah.
You will think.
Yeah. It becomes like too much, you know. See, bhakti is a matter of heart, not, that's why once I told you, right? It's not about our intellect. It's a matter of heart. But then still again you ask the question, what does it mean, you know, what I'm doing differently, you know? I don't know, that I always feel like saying this.
But Madhavi, when this line I have heard many times, it's bhakti from the heart, but whenever we talk, we go much into the conversation that why this, how this,
logical understanding,
like generally I also put a lot of stress, so then why we are doing this, that much logical understanding of each verse.
Yes.
Why we cannot just simply say, okay, that's okay, that's whatever.
Yeah,
hearing,
that's a good point. That's a Srila Prabhupada says, hey, otherwise it becomes sentiment. Srila Prabhupada says, religion and philosophy should go to hand in hand. Religion without philosophy is sentiment. Like, you know, that's how our parents used to do. Offer diya, do so many aartis. Then child comes and says, Mataji, why are you doing this? Means, oh no, it's okay, that's how we should do. If I don't do one day, you know, something will happen to me. Right? It becomes sentiment. That's why children will not get, I didn't get impetus to take up from seeing my mom. Right? Otherwise, and philosophy without religion becomes mental speculation. So you keep thinking all the time, oh, Krishna is like this, Krishna is like that, I should serve like this. But really not doing anything, no tangible way to serve him. Then it just becomes speculation. So we have to have both. We should have the practices of religion, like, you know, practices of chanting, all those things. We have to have the practice of, that's religion. And we should have philosophy, which is the books, the fundamental basis of, you know, why we are serving, whom we are serving, why should we serve. Because that fixes our intelligence. We heard this different layers, right? Senses, mind, intelligence, false ego. So intelligence is next door neighbor in third chapter we heard, right? Last, when you talked about lust. Intelligence is the next door neighbor of soul. If intelligence gets corrupted, then it can completely spoil the whole the journey. We have to fix the intelligence. When we fix the intelligence properly situated in transcendental knowledge, then we will be easily progress through the path of bhakti. So that's what we are doing. So that's why, you know, Mataji also asked, somebody asked a question. We are not cultivating jnana here. We are cultivating bhakti. See the point? We are cultivating bhakti. But after hearing all this, impetus should be, I want to serve my Lord, I want to chant my, you know, follow the devotional services more sincerely. That should be the impetus. Not like, oh, I heard 2-3 verses today, I heard so many, you know, logical points, I, no, not like that. We are, that's why Prabhupada said, you know, when he emphasized, children should learn Sanskrit, because they can read slokas, they can discuss slokas, but he said we don't want Sanskrit scholars. It's not for them to become Sanskrit slokas. It's so that they can appreciate Krishna better when they know Sanskrit. So you see the difference? It's not for scholarship, not that I sit in a stage and say, oh, you know, I can quote so many slokas. But it's to please the Lord through our abilities. Okay, we'll end here. All the Shri Srila Prabhupada.